A Manifest for Walking in Beauty. 12 Practices for Living in Right Relationship. Mitakuye Oyasin, All My Relations. This manifest offers a path for those who have found their own methods for managing life to be inadequate, who have made resolutions but found them fleeting, and who honestly desire change but find they lack the power to bring it about alone. It draws from the ancient wisdom of indigenous North American traditions, recognizing that lasting transformation requires not merely self-improvement through increased willpower, but a fundamental reordering of one's relationship with self, community, and the living world. The path outlined here is not a retreat to the past, but a blueprint for a viable life. It recognizes that many forms of profound unhappiness, ineffectiveness, and personal stagnation stem from a common root, a life run on self-will that has become unmanageable. The solution is not found in fighting harder, but in surrendering to a different way of being. One rooted in humility, reciprocity, and connection to the great web of existence. The first practice, acknowledging our place in the web. Dabaden Diziwin, Humility, Knowing Your Place. The first practice requires a complete and honest admission that a life built solely on self-will has failed to produce the peace, purpose, and connection we seek. This is not an admission of weakness, but of reality. The recognition that the isolated ego, operating alone, cannot manage the complexity of existence. Indigenous wisdom teaches through the wolf, who embodies humility by knowing its place in the pack and in the web of life. The wolf does not try to be the sun or command the seasons. It lives in harmony with forces greater than itself. The Lakota value of Wowahwala reminds us that we are one thread in an infinite tapestry, neither more nor less important than any other. The illusion that we can control the world through sheer force of will leads inevitably to what the ancestors called the four horsemen of the spirit: frustration when our plans are blocked, bewilderment when we cannot understand why we fail, terror when we realize we are not in control, and finally despair when we believe there is no way out. This practice asks us to face the truth. Our self-reliance, as we have practiced it, has not brought us to the life we seek. We admit that our way of thinking and acting must change fundamentally. This admission is not defeat. It is the first step toward genuine freedom. It clears the ground for a new foundation to be built. Daily practice. Each morning, touch the earth and speak. I am one thread in the web. I cannot weave the pattern alone. I release the illusion that I am the center of all things. The second practice, opening to the living universe. Gichi Manidu, the great mystery moves through all things. Having acknowledged that self-will alone is insufficient, we now open ourselves to the possibility that help exists beyond the boundaries of our isolated ego. Indigenous wisdom teaches that the universe is not a collection of dead objects, but a communion of living subjects, a field of consciousness and spirit that permeates all beings. The Lakota speak of Wakantanka, the great mystery, not as a distant deity but as the animating force that flows through every entity, from the thunderstorm to the pebble, from the eagle to the human heart. The Anishinaabe recognize Manidu, the spirit or mystery, acknowledging that all beings carry a spark of the sacred. This practice does not require accepting any particular theology. It requires only the willingness to believe that there exists a source of wisdom, strength, and guidance beyond the confines of our own thinking. This power might be found in the collective wisdom of others who have walked this path, in the principles of natural law, in the voice of the ancestors, or in the intelligence that orchestrates the seasons and guides the migrations of birds. The function is what matters, establishing an external reference point to break the closed loop of obsessive thinking and fear-based decision-making. By choosing our own understanding of this greater power, we access strength that the isolated ego could never achieve alone. Daily practice. Spend time in stillness, listening to wind, water, or silence. Ask, what wisdom does the living world offer me today? Trust that communication happens when we learn to listen. The third practice. Surrendering to the way of beauty. Hozo, walking in dynamic harmony. The third practice transforms philosophical understanding into a living commitment. Having recognized that self-will has failed and that help exists beyond ourselves, we now make a decision to surrender our lives to the way of beauty, the dynamic harmony the Diné call Hozo. Hozo is not a destination, but a practice, the continuous act of walking in balance. The famous Navajo prayer declares, "In beauty I walk, with beauty before me, behind me, above me, below me, and all around me. In beauty it is finished." This surrender is not passive resignation. It is the active choice to align our will with the patterns of the universe rather than fighting against them. The directive to let go absolutely is a call to abandon a failed strategy, the strategy of self-will, in order to access something more effective. True power, paradoxically, is found through surrender. By releasing our death grip on control, we open ourselves to the flow of life. We stop asking, "How can I force the world to give me what I want?" and begin asking, "How can I move in harmony with what is?" The medicine wheel teaches that health is balance across four dimensions: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Our commitment is to maintain this balance, making continuous micro-adjustments as conditions change, like riding a bicycle or paddling a canoe. Daily practice. Upon waking, speak this commitment. Today I surrender my self-will to the way of beauty. I commit to walking in balance. I will listen for guidance and follow where it leads. The fourth practice, taking inventory on the medicine wheel. Searching fearlessly within the four directions. Having committed to a new way of living, we now undertake the challenging work of self-examination. This is a comprehensive inventory of our inner landscape, not an exercise in self-punishment, but a practical stock-taking, like assessing which tools in our lodge are useful and which have become harmful. Indigenous wisdom recognizes the shadow as a teacher. The Lakota concept of the Hayoka, the sacred clown who does things backwards, reminds us that truth often hides in what we least want to examine. Our work is to search out the patterns of thought and behavior that have caused our suffering and contributed to the suffering of others. We examine ourselves through the medicine wheel's four directions. East, physical. Where have I harmed or neglected my body, which is a sacred vessel? South, emotional. What resentments do I carry? The ancestors knew that resentment is poison. We drink it hoping another will be harmed. List every person, institution, or principle with whom you are angry. Then ask, what part of my pride, security, or ambition felt threatened? And finally, with rigorous honesty, what was my part in each situation? West, spiritual. Where have I been disconnected from the sacred? Where have I lived in opposition to natural law? North, mental. What patterns of thinking have led me astray? What fears have governed my choices? What lies have I told myself and others? This inventory also includes examining the harm we have caused others, especially in our closest relationships. The goal is not self-condemnation, but clarity, seeing our part in the difficulties of life and identifying what must change. Daily practice. Set aside sacred time to write without judgment. Let the truth emerge onto the page. Remember, secrets kept in darkness retain their power. Truth written in light begins to heal. The fifth practice. Speaking truth in counsel. Kante Ognyake. Placing the heart in the circle. Having completed our inventory in solitude, we now bring it into the light through the sacred act of truth-telling. This practice requires us to share the exact nature of our patterns and mistakes with ourselves fully, with the great mystery, and with another trusted human being. The Lakota value of Kante Ognyake calls us to radical authenticity, speaking and acting from our true nature rather than behind masks of protection. The Anishinaabe honor the Sasquatch, Sabe, as the teacher of honesty, living one's truth even in isolation, needing no audience for integrity. Why must we speak our truth to another person? Because the ego that created our problems cannot be trusted to judge them alone. It will rationalize, minimize, and deceive. Moreover, the ego thrives on isolation and the belief that my failings are unique, no one could understand. This belief is a prison. The counsel process, where we speak from the heart and listen from the heart, breaks this prison. When we verbalize our deepest shames to another trusted person, the fear of judgment is often met with acceptance and understanding. We discover that our struggles are not unique, but are part of the shared human condition. This practice requires courage, the Wahutika of the Lakota, the willingness to sacrifice our comfort for our healing. Find a trusted guide, an elder, a counselor, a spiritual companion. Sit in counsel, speak your truth. Listen for wisdom. Daily practice. Commit to telling the truth this day to yourself and others. When tempted to wear a mask, remember, honesty is the solvent that dissolves the walls between myself and the world. The sixth practice, preparing for release. Making ready to let go of what no longer serves. The inventory has revealed patterns of thinking and behavior that have caused harm to ourselves, our relationships, and our place in the web of life. The sixth practice is becoming entirely ready to have these patterns removed. Indigenous wisdom teaches that we must practice small deaths throughout life, releasing identities, relationships, beliefs, and behaviors that no longer serve. The seasonal ceremonies of release, where people symbolically burn or bury what they are letting go, acknowledge that transformation requires endings. This practice asks us to examine each defect we have identified and honestly ask, "Am I willing to let this go?" This is harder than it sounds. Our resentments, fears, and harmful patterns often feel like protection. We clutch them because we believe they keep us safe or give us identity. The teaching of the seven grandfather virtues reminds us that each virtue has a shadow when taken to extreme or twisted by fear. We must be willing to release not only obvious harms, but also the subtle ways we have distorted even good qualities. This practice requires patience, wawakintanka, the capacity to endure discomfort without losing our center. We may not be ready to release everything at once. The spiral path teaches that we return to the same lessons at deeper levels. Today, we simply ask ourselves, "What am I willing to release?" And we prepare our hearts for the letting go. Daily practice. Hold an object that represents something you are ready to release. Breathe. Ask, "Am I truly willing to let this go, even if it frightens me?" When the answer is yes, prepare for the ceremony of release. The seventh practice, humbly asking for transformation. Seeking help from the great mystery. Having prepared ourselves for release, we now engage in the ceremony of asking. With humility, Dabadin Diziwin, we request that the patterns which have caused harm be removed and that we be transformed. Indigenous ceremony is not symbolic theater but a technology for change. The sweat lodge, the vision quest, the purification rituals, all are methods for moving beyond the boundaries of the ego and connecting to transformative power. We approach this practice not as supplication to a distant deity, but as participation in the living intelligence of the universe. The wolf teaches humility through its relationship with the pack and the land. It does not imagine it can transform itself through willpower alone. It relies on forces beyond itself, the cooperation of the pack, the migrations of prey, the cycles of the seasons. We ask humbly because we have learned that pride and self-sufficiency have failed us. We ask sincerely because half measures will not bring lasting change. We ask in whatever way aligns with our understanding of the great mystery. Through prayer, through ceremony, through meditation, through the intention of the heart. The asking is not passive waiting. It is active surrender, releasing our grip so that transformation can occur. Like a seed that must break open in darkness before it can grow toward light, we trust the process even when we cannot see the result. Daily practice, in a place of stillness, make your request known, speak aloud, or in the silence of your heart. I humbly ask that these patterns be removed, transform me, make me useful to my relations. The eighth practice, mapping the broken relationships. Identifying those we have harmed. Transformation of character must flow outward into transformed relationships. The eighth practice calls us to make a list of all persons we have harmed and to become willing to make things right with each of them. Indigenous wisdom teaches that we exist within a web of kinship. Mitakuye Oyasin, all my relations. When we cause harm, we tear this web. The injury does not remain between two people. It ripples outward, affecting families, communities, and even the land itself. Likewise, when we heal a relationship, the healing ripples outward. Restorative justice in indigenous traditions asks not what punishment fits the crime, but what will restore balance to all affected parties. The focus is on healing the tear in the social fabric, not on retribution. This practice requires us to review our lives systematically. Family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, strangers, institutions, anyone we have harmed through our actions or our failures to act. We write each name. For each name, we note the harm done. We also cultivate willingness. This may be the greater challenge. Some names on our list may fill us with shame, others with fear, others with lingering resentment. We are not yet making amends. We are preparing our hearts. We are asking ourselves, can I become willing to face these people and these harms? For those toward whom we still carry resentment, we remember, resentment is the poison we drink hoping another will suffer. The amends process is for our freedom, not theirs. Daily practice. Begin your list. Do not rush. Let memory surface. Ask the great mystery to help you see clearly. For each name, ask, am I willing to make this right? Where willingness is lacking, pray for it. The ninth practice, making amends and restoring balance. Walking the path of repair. With our list prepared and willingness cultivated, we now take direct action to repair the harm we have caused, wherever possible, except when doing so would cause further injury. The Lakota practice of Wapila, the giveaway ceremony, teaches that true honor comes not from accumulation but from generous giving. Making amends is a giveaway of a different kind. We give acknowledgement, apology, and whatever restitution we can offer. We clean our side of the street, regardless of how much dirt may be on theirs. The healing circles of restorative justice guide us. We tell the truth about what we did. We listen to how it affected others, and we ask what would help make things right. We approach even those who have harmed us more than we harmed them with a helpful and forgiving spirit, focusing only on our part. The manner should be calm, frank, and open. We are not seeking to be forgiven by others, but to achieve a state of personal integrity and inner peace by taking responsible action. Some amends can be made directly, others require changed behavior over time. Some debts can never be fully repaid. We do what we can and commit to living differently. The crucial caveat. We do not make amends if doing so would harm the person we approach or innocent others. This requires wisdom and often guidance. The goal is genuine repair, not dramatic gestures that serve our ego. Daily practice. Move through your list at the pace that wisdom dictates. Before each amends, ask for guidance. After each amends, offer gratitude, regardless of how it was received. Record your progress and your lessons. The 10th practice, walking the medicine wheel, daily. Continuous inventory and immediate course correction. The comprehensive inventory and amends cleared the debris of the past. The 10th practice establishes a system for preventing new debris from accumulating. This is the practice that transforms the path from crisis intervention to a sustainable design for living. The medicine wheel teaches that health is continuous rebalancing across four dimensions. Each day we watch for the emergence of familiar spiritual maladies, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these arise, and they will arise, we address them immediately before they can take root. The protocol is simple. Acknowledge and seek help. Notice the destructive feeling. Acknowledge it without judgment. Ask the great mystery for guidance in releasing it. Speak it aloud. Share the feeling with another person. A guide, a trusted friend, a fellow traveler on the path. This breaks the cycle of internal rumination and dissolves shame in the light of connection. Make amends quickly. If our actions have harmed anyone, correct the situation as soon as possible, before it can fester into larger wounds. The Medicine Wheel Evening Assessment guides our daily review. East, how did I honor my physical body today? South, did I feel fully? Did I honor the emotions of others? West, did I connect with mystery? Did I release control? North, what did I learn? Did I share knowledge generously? Center, where am I out of balance? What needs attention tomorrow? Daily practice. At day's end, conduct the medicine wheel assessment. Note where balance was maintained and where it wavered. For any harms done, plan immediate amends. Close the day with gratitude, releasing worry and regret. The 11th practice, seeking conscious contact. Prayer, meditation, and the vision quest. The 11th practice deepens and maintains our connection to the living universe. Through prayer, meditation, and intentional practices, we align our thoughts and actions with the way of beauty. Indigenous traditions offer many technologies for conscious contact. The vision quest, where seekers spend days alone in nature awaiting guidance. The sweat lodge, where the steam and darkness facilitate profound release and clarity. The simple practice of sitting with the rising sun, greeting the east, and the gift of new beginning. The morning practice primes the mind before it becomes entangled in the day's demands. The Anishinaabe Four Directions greeting offers one form. Face east. I greet this new day and the opportunity for renewal. Face south. I honor my emotions as valid messengers. I commit to feeling fully today. Face west. I acknowledge the mysteries I cannot understand. I release control. Face north. I thank my ancestors and elders for their wisdom. I commit to learning today. Throughout the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. We seek to improve our conscious contact, asking only for knowledge of the path and the power to walk it. The nightly review closes the day's chapter. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Is there something we should discuss with another? We assess honestly, but without drifting into remorse or self-punishment. These diminish our usefulness tomorrow. Daily practice. establish morning and evening rituals of conscious contact. Throughout the day, pause when disturbed. In all things, seek guidance and alignment with forces greater than the isolated self. The 12th practice, carrying the medicine to others. Service as the path to freedom. The 12th practice is the capstone of this design for living and the most powerful practice of all, carrying the medicine of this path to others who still suffer and living these principles in all our affairs. The Lakota virtue of Wakantonyaka, generosity, teaches that true worth is measured not by what we accumulate but by what we give away. The giveaway ceremony honors individuals precisely by distributing possessions to others. The highest service is not keeping wisdom for ourselves, but offering it freely to those who need it. This practice introduces a profound alchemy. The very experiences that once caused the most shame, the failures, the demoralization, the suffering, become our greatest asset. They give us credibility and empathy to help others in ways that no one else can. A person who has walked through the darkness is uniquely useful to someone still lost in it. By helping others, we are constantly reminded of the reality of our former condition and the effectiveness of this path. It breaks the final chains of self-obsession. The focus shifts from the internal, circular question, how can I feel better, to the external, purpose-giving question, how can I be useful to my relations? The ancestors knew the good life is not about having more, but about being more fully ourselves in service to the whole. Service banishes loneliness, creates fellowship, and gives life profound meaning. It is the bright spot of our days and the surest path to sustained peace. Daily practice. Ask each morning, how can I be of service today? Offer your experience to others when appropriate. Practice the principles in all your affairs, at home, at work, in every relationship. Remember, you carry medicine that others need. The promises, what awaits those who walk this path. For those who follow this path with rigor, honesty, and sustained commitment, profound transformation becomes possible. We will experience a new freedom and a new happiness. The four horsemen, frustration, bewilderment, terror, and despair, will lose their power over us. We will come to know serenity, not the absence of difficulty, but an unshakable foundation from which to meet difficulty. Self-obsession will fade. The enormous energy once wasted trying to control the uncontrollable nursing resentments and battling fear will become available for constructive purposes. We will cease fighting everything and everyone, including ourselves. We will know our place in the web of relations, not as the center demanding tribute, but as one thread contributing to the pattern. This is not diminishment, but liberation. The loneliness that thickened around our isolated selves will dissolve in the warmth of true belonging. We will walk in beauty, with beauty before us, behind us, above us, below us, and all around us. We will understand that in healing ourselves, we participate in healing our ancestors and our descendants. We will see that the personal is ecological, the political is spiritual, and everything is related. This is the medicine the world needs now. The remembering that we belong to each other and to the earth. Mitakuye Oyasin, all my relations. In beauty may we walk.